This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, get a shiatsu massager. Are we recording this? Oh boy. Rude.
You know what? I said I didn't want anything, but now I want a coffee. I'm suddenly realizing how tired
actually,
I am.
Well, you're saying that as if I know how to make coffee.
No, I'm just going to go get a coffee.
Okay.
Merlin,
sorry, we'll call you back.
Okay.
Did Merlin pick up last time? He did? That's so funny.
No, it's not. Hey, Merlin.
Merlin?
Hi.
Sorry,
Baba Booey, Baba Booey. Howard Stern is the king of all media.
God damn it.
Hang up.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Okay, Cameron's not even moving. So
wait, are people not obeying my commands?
I'm the desk girl in this for this hour and a half only. Then I will go back to doing whatever you want.
You can't Baba Booey someone and then not hang up.
Oh, boy. Mm.
Now you're just an asshole.
I don't even know that reference.
You guys having a good morning over there? What's going on? Did you get a big coffee or something? What's happening?
Yeah, I got a big coffee.
Yeah.
I got up very early. I got up very early and I went to City Hall. I actually don't want to get into too much specifics, but I'm just
And doing you're off to a terrible start.
I don't want to get
Okay, is this the story? What's happening?
This is the story. I don't want to get into too
much. Is this the show? Is this where are we on the show right now?
Yes.
Everything that's the show is part of the show.
So you got up early.
So I'm trying to do something at my house that requires like a form from the city. I have to pay this. It's like
Max, no.
No, it's not. I'm trying to.
A name for this, Alex. We need a name for the thing that he's going to talk about for a real long time that we'll end up referring back to. And then sometime on Thursday afternoon, he'll demand it be removed. We need a name for that.
No.
It's Max's Thursday mission.
I'm just.
7:35 p.m. Cut out everything. Cut out everything I said about that thing they told me not to talk about, and every reference to it subsequently. Chop chop.
This one's not bad. I just need like an easement from the city to put something on my house. And it's so, and it's the same form. It's the same form that if you're a business, if you have a restaurant or something, and you want to put like a canopy or like sidewalk seating, you need to like fill this form out. And so all the paperwork but I'm not doing anything like that. I just need this piece of paper done.
Can I have outdoor seating at your house?
a little sidewalk cafe,
a little cat cafe.
And I've been trying to fill this paperwork out for months, and it wants my like EIN number, and it's like, are you like a sole proprietorship or like an S corp? And I finally went into the city, and I was like, I'm a private homeowner, and my alderman told me I had to fill this paperwork out, but I don't know how to do it. And he was like, oh well, you just put under the type of business, just circle. And I was like, but what type of business is my house? Should I put a sole proprietorship? and he just was like, he like put a little thing that said other, and he is just like, we'll just call it other. Like, it's so weird. Like, anything interfacing with the city is so fucking weird.
That's how Mueller gets you. He gets you on the, he asks you things that aren't related to the actual investigation. And then he files a, whatever, 1001 CFC on you. That's
you
what he does.
So you think I did some sort of Papadopoulos perjury trap?
I think you pop-adopt. I think you pop-adopt hard. I think you're going to get a letter from the alderman on behalf of the Outside Cafe Committee.
This is very Captain. We have a lot of questions about your outdoor seating. What do you even sell at your sole proprietorship?
I really think that could be. That
you decorate
like
a lot for Halloween.
Don't you think that could be a funny Seinfeld bit? Jerry, you Papadopoulos'd yourself, Jerry. No Papadop. No Papadop.
No cafe. No cafe.
I have a controversial opinion.
Oh.
Yep.
Here we go. Boy.
Here's Alex's Thursday. Yep. Thursday mission.
Thursday mission.
The most recent season of the Great British Baking Something is the best season of any of the seasons.
The one after the people left?
Yep. That's all.
John, they got no Johnny Hollywood? Cannot, they don't have the probably lesbian lady?
They not prop. Oh, she is open. Okay, moving on. No, it's completely.
She a lesbian lady?
You're Alex? Saying it's better than the Nadia season?
I am not saying the people. Yes, I am not saying any of the hosts are better.
Veronica's gonna have some words
with
you.
I know. Has she seen it?
I think you just don't like the lesbian lady.
You're asking, has Veronica seen Great British Bake
No,
Off?
The most recent one, the most controversial.
She's seen it all.
I know. You're right. Why am I? I'm sorry, Dr. Burns.
Well, Johnny Hollywood left, and then the other people left in support, right? Or Johnny Hollywood stayed? What happened?
Yes.
Johnny left or stayed?
Yes. Dr. Hollywood is still there. And
okay.
It was very funny because they make it. So you can tell that they're trying to make him much more likable. The problem is it works. It works hard.
Really?
And it could be that next season is absolutely awful, but the contestants.
Is it still gentle? Is it gentle still?
Oh, it's so gentle. It's in, if more so, like it's like they knew that they were losing so many good things that they knew that they really had to pull.
Is Mary
the
still on?
Nope. There's Prue. And
the probably lesbian lady and Mary are gone. What about the blonde lady? Is she gone?
Yep. Everybody is gone.
Everybody but Johnny
Hollywood. Yes.
Okay. All
so,
right.
And people are like, oh, he's a bad guy. Don't worry, though. He didn't assault anybody. He just cheated on his wife a bunch. So it's fine.
I get a vibe from him.
He's very, well, they make him likable. They make him likable.
They make him like, they give him the hero edit.
I ended up really liking him. All right, controversial opinion over. Please tweet at me.
What made you want to talk about that, Alex?
I just want people to watch it because people are like, this makes me sad.
You don't get rid of anybody. Get rid of Johnny Hollywood. That's what I'd say.
Exactly. But it has brought me so much joy the past few weeks.
You know what, Merlin? Is he now? Do you think that they have pan men in Britain?
I think he's. I didn't want to say it because I have privately and publicly made a point of saying I was probably super wrong about Guy Fieri. Guy Fieri is a very nice man. Now he likes lesbian ladies, Alex. Unlike you, he's making gays marry. He marries gays. He marries gays one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
He fed the firefighters.
He dumps his donkey sauce on the bride.
No,
he brought the firefighters to Flavortown. He made a
I'm here today with the Flavortown Fire Department.
When they had the fires in California, he went,
some donkey sauce.
He went and he.
It's
and
not
he,
garlic mayo. No mayo.
No mayo.
No mayo.
He went, Guy Fieri. He went
Guy Fieri.
And he brought food to the firefighters.
Yeah, I've shifted. I'm going to get to your question in a minute because I think I know exactly what you're fucking talking about. I think he's closer to Jose Ande than we thought. I think he's a nice man with donkey sauce, and I think Johnny Hollywood is the I think he's the British doppelganger avatar of a Gaddafi, but not nice like Gaddafi. He's not making gays marry probably, but maybe that's why the lady left the show. The lady with the Converse is probably a lesbian. That's why she left the show. Mm-hmm.
Now what's a pan man? Let's start here. What's a pan man?
Are we talking about sexuality or the metal thing?
No, a pan
what's
man.
Happening?
You're always talking about sexuality, Alex. It's an affliction.
I'm
You're
sorry.
Always talking about it.
I'm
Everything's
sorry.
Sex for you.
Identity politics.
It's
like,
it's
can I lick it? Like, what is it? Salty? Is it like a battery? Like a 9-volt battery? Yeah, bring it. Like, put it on my plate with my bread. Jesus Christ, Alex.
A pan man is a very. It's a highly Florida phenomenon.
Pan man,
would you agree with that?
Oh, it's a very maybe a South Florida phenomenon.
Absolutely,
and I find it easiest to argue by example. It's difficult to get a Webster according to Webster's, but you could say like canonical pan persons. I think Gavia and and Sammy Hagar. Mm. If you make
what
tequila,
about, what about the guy?
You might be a pan man.
What about the guy from Smash Mouth?
Oh, he's such a fucking fan man. Oh, helps to have not a full goatee.
Okay,
helps to have
so
one
more
like a little hair stain.
So you're gonna have, you know what I think it is that partially I think that you've got a facial hair situation where you're kind of sculpting a chin for yourself.
Yes.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's like a Peter Jackson forced perspective.
George
thing.
Lucas, if he wasn't as successful in his career, he could have been a pan man.
Well, he has a dewlap. That's a different kind of thing. He's got a meat beard. A meat beard is different, but very related.
A pan man, I think, is going to have a Hawaiian shirt.
It helps to have a Hawaiian shirt. Now, what about James Buffet? Is he a pan man?
I don't know who that is.
Jimmy Buffett?
Okay. Okay.
You're getting too clever now.
Okay. You know what? I think that its own thing. Jimmy Buffet is his own thing, but it's there. You know, you're going to have a Venn diagram where there's going to be some Buffett people.
If you went into Google Sheets and made a scatter chart of pan men, what would the two axes be? Because we know for sure that if you would be a very upper right. I don't even know what the axes are. But Guy Fieri is an outlier.
Yes, you're going to have so much. So you're going to have on the x axis, you're going to have how much gel is in the hair.
Oh my God.
Right? The tip, because it's the tips. It's the hair.
Oh, do you have frosted tips?
Well, is it just the tip?
But it's that real. Ooh. It's that real 90s hair where it looks like it was put on with like an icing bag.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Like when you're
squirted
making,
onto your
like
head.
When you're making egg whites, like it should stand up stiff on its own. You know?
It's like bad piping, really.
You want an amount of hair gel in your hair where it turns into like a meringue, right? You want it to have stiff
peaks. Yeah, I was going to say it's like that cake stuff that's not really good that they use for sculpting cakes. What's that stuff called? Fontanelle? The Fontina? They do that stuff that's disgusting. So far I've got frosted tips. I've got makes tequila. I think you can't get it hot enough for them.
Okay. Yes.
They say to you, "How hot do you want it?" Well, as John Roderick says, "Do you want jalapenos with that?" You say, "Fuck yeah, I want jalapenos with that." They always want jalapenos. You can't make it hot enough for them, right?
Yes.
Spicy enough?
Absolutely. Okay. Now I think.
Signs guitars. I think if you sign guitars, you might be a pan man. Like you show up somewhere, and you start signing strats. Like you carry an IdentiPen with you, and you're just signing shit everywhere. You love signs guitars.
Is Jimmy Carter a pan man?
Is Jimmy Carter a guitar signer?
He
ain't got no frosted tips. He does wear a bandana sometimes. Where's bandana?
Where's bandana is a classic pan man affectation. Now, I recently watched the Netflix special Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat.
Ooh.
And that is everything.
And that is not, she's not a pan man, but that is a very funny, you know, they have that kind of canned intro that comes on before every episode, and I feel like I heard it 300 times because I just watched them all at once. And she has the funniest line. It's the first line in the intro. She goes, "I've spent my life in search of flavor," and now that to me is a very pan man saying.
Oh yeah.
If
now okay.
If you spend your life in search of flavor, search you might be a pan man.
You okay? Okay. Life in search of flavor. Okay.
Are you putting this in the doc? Is this the...
Oh, no, I can if you want. You guys never look at it.
I'm always in here.
What doc?
You see my little picture there of me licking my cat. I'm always here.
I do see it. I see it. All right, I'll put it in the doc. I'll share my wisdom. Episode 107, new section. New section, which is called Pan Man Criteria.
Now, I think you're going to have... I think you're going to have some... some sunglasses,
back of the neck, back of the head.
Absolutely. Oh. Now,
sunglasses not on your normal face.
But what about this though? Uh-huh. Neon cord
sunglasses. Oh, the froggies. Is that what they're called?
Yeah. Like a very sun. like a neon cord. You know.
Okay, this is going to take a little bit of Supreme Court here. Sunglasses, not on regular face. Froggies. Okay. And did you say neon? Did you already say neon? Neon sunglasses?
No, but they certainly are. Certainly
wrap,
are.
Wrap around. Okay, that's a whole Supreme Court section there. All right. We got frosted tips, makes tequila. Can't make it spicy enough for me.
That's a very important
can't make
part.
It spicy enough for me. Laughs real hard.
I think this is a very American phenomenon, the pan man. But I think it's, you know, it's probably, you know, like a lot of American culture, it has its roots in sort of, you know, British and European culture. And I think there's got to be some sort of ancestral pan man thread that Paul Hollywood
came
from.
Like an pan man.
Yes, the or pan. Paul Hollywood, he's like the or pan man. And he's, you see what I'm saying?
Oh,
He's not a pan man.
He's like the Beowulf of Flavortown.
He's like a pan lord.
Yes. Okay. Well, like you may know, there's a lot of songs, folk songs you hear. There's something called the Child Ballads, which is the first time that somebody really, I don't know if it's the first time, it's the canonical collection of UK balladry, the Child Ballads. So somewhere in there, you got Sir Patrick Spens. You're meeting somebody coming through the rye, and you're going to have a pan man in there somewhere. Maybe it's like a Tom Bombadil type situation. Maybe it's Tom Bombadil a pan man. Oh, he's such a fucking pan man.
I think you're going to have pan lords and ladies.
Okay, all right, pan lords. New section, pan lords, the pan ladies. You never have a pan duchess. You ever see a pan duchess? I don't think so.
And I think if you make it, if you become one of those like Channel 4 personalities, you know how there's only like 8 famous people in England and they're all on
yes,
the same talk
they're
shows?
They're all in Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think then in that case, you're part of the pan House of Lords.
Oh, it's like the shadow cabinet.
Oh, yes.
Okay, there's a completely different section.
Right.
Okay. Like, oh, what about a dog with a bandana? Dog with a bandana?
Well, no.
No, I think you're like a, that's like more crust punk, isn't it?
Oh my.
Okay. Oh, I see the little Portlandia. Okay, so like a shadow cabinet, right? So you got like the Republicans and the Democrats, and then you have the Independents, which are the Pan Men. And somewhere at Westminster, whatever, there's an entire room full of people eating jalapeno peppers. Are they listening to the Eagles? What are they listening to?
Okay, that's
is Billy Joel. Is Billy Joel a pan man? He's kind of a pan man.
I think they're probably listening to the band Sum 41.
Okay. No. They're
maybe
listening
Blink
to 18, Rush.
Blink 182.
No. Let's not associate my pop punk childhood with the pan lords. No.
Is it possible, Alex, you're a secret pan man, pan lord, pan lady? Are you a pan lady? Maybe you're a pan lady.
I'm a pan-chist.
Let's look. Do you have frosted tips?
Not anymore.
You used to have frosted tips. Shit, dog. Well, have you ever made tequila?
Okay. What about this?
No.
Yeah. What about this? Maybe they listen to Sublime.
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. There we go. I'll allow it.
Tom Bombadil. And then we got Johnny Hollywood. He's going to be one of the. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to tell. This is why we need a scatter chart, because I think to get to any level of granularity, you're going to have to decide what the axes are and who's in the scatter. But you know, Europe's a very strange land.
Mm-hmm.
But there's German. Do you think there's German pan men? Oh, you bet. You bet. Oh, wear shorts in public. Wear shorts, maybe.
I think they need some sort of side pocket. Not necessarily a cargo, but an unnecessary pocket.
Unnecessary pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Footwear. Flip-flops.
Crocs.
Oh, no. Oh,
I think we're all learning something about each other right now.
Merlin, why? I just noticed that you had quite a reaction to that.
Sorry. This line's breaking up.
Oh, let's restart the
Skype. I have professional Crocs. I don't wear like orange baby Crocs. I wear professional Crocs like a chef would wear.
There's nothing wrong with the... I have pink Crocs.
Why are you so sensitive about this?
Because I enjoy my pink Crocs that are...
you're saying I'm the only host of the show that doesn't own a pair of Crocs?
Yes.
I had a little follow-up on our Dubai Friday Secret Krampus after it took a couple of tries, but we finally sent out the Secret Krampus assignments. Huge shout-out to all of our mods, Matt and Robbie and Huxing, who I don't know their real name, who's actually put in a tremendous amount of time to like clean up the database and make it work. We had, I think, almost like 500 people sign up for the Secret Santa, which is pretty amazing. So Robbie and Matt just ran some stats on the 500 signups for a Secret Santa, and here are some interesting things that we learned.
Krampus.
The most common name was Andrew. We had 10 Andrews sign up. We had nine Michaels. 8 Bryans, 7 Matts, and 7 Nicks, and 6 Ians. I didn't realize there were that many Ians.
Oh.
I mean, I know 4 Ians in my life personally.
So we had 43 states were represented. We had about...
What?
Really? 43 states.
Oh.
So we had 50 people from California, 30 people from New York, 20 people from Texas, 20 people from Washington, 16 people from Illinois. So shout out to all of our cucks in California. And let's see, we had 5 District of Columbia.
Were there any women?
We didn't ask for pronouns or gender identity.
We don't know, but judging by those first names.
I don't see gender.
Yeah, I'm going to ask right now, how many Alexes?
Somewhere in here, the other one that I was really excited to read was there was a list of countries that people signed up from that was really interesting.
I always think that's super interesting. I'm going to go look at our Simplecast page. I'm sometimes amazed that there's as many people in like places like Australia that listen to the show, and it always makes me happy.
So there were 331 people from the U.S., like 50 people from Canada, 20 people from Australia, 20 people from the U.K., and then this is wild. We had 3 people from the Netherlands, 1 person from Austria, 1 person from Brazil. You know, the mail doesn't really work in Brazil, so good luck getting your Secret Santa present. Oh, the addresses, they don't really have addresses in Brazil. They have, like, descriptions of houses. They're like the third house past the water tower on the left with the red door. It's crazy.
Favela 6A.
We have a listener from Israel. We have one listener from the Ukraine, who I think might be an operative. What do you think?
I hope so.
Just Ukraine, no the.
We don't say the.
That's a Russian thing.
I've heard John Roderick say
the Russian.
Ukraine.
What?
Oh,
wait.
He got corrected.
Oh, I see.
Because when you say the, you're treating it like it's your own little district. That's interesting. Our biggest for our listeners, our biggest source is the U.S. Almost 8% from the U.K. 6. I'm rounding. 6% Canada.
Are the pan lords.
These are the milady, donkey sauce, governor.
Real time update: there are only 5 Alexes in the Secret Krampus, including me, which is very upsetting because I feel like this used to be a very common name, and I used to always have to be I'm Alex Cox, but now I'm just Alex. It's not cool anymore.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you.
2.8% from Germany, our listeners.
Oh,
thank you. Thank you, everyone, for signing up for that. I really think that's pretty. I was blown away by how many people signed up for it, and I think it's very sweet. And I'm glad that we have like a nice listener base, and they want to do cool stuff like that. That makes me really happy.
Boy, we got a long tail. There's a country of San Marino. We've had 1 download.
Mm.
What is that? Is that a real country or is that like an island?
I'm starting at the right end of the long
but is
tail.
That, isn't that like one of those like banking islands?
Like a Paul Manafort island.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's just like a runway strip and a P.O.
Yes.
box, you know?
And a helipad.
Yeah.
Cabo Verde on Guyana.
Cabo Verde.
My grandfather's
from
Guyana.
Sure that Cabo Verde is not a real country.
Djibouti. Djibouti. 1 download in Djibouti. Thank you, Djibouti. St. Bart's. Equatorial Guinea. Togo. 3 downloads in Togo.
Well, what I like looking at is how many
people
are all
Hank Hill names.
That's such a fucking
Tonga.
Good show. I'm so glad
Samoa.
It's on
Samoa. Burundi. Djibouti.
Well, to our listeners in Togo, I just want to say bonjour.
Walk along a seaside. Sorry, you reached Fiji. Yeah, it's been a big week. Mm. French Guyana. Okay. St. Martin. Okay. All right, so thanks for doing that. You guys came through with the Krampus.
I got a new, it took me like 3 tries to get the email, to correctly send the email, but we got it.
You're literally one of the best people, I'd argue, in the world who sends email, both as a person and as someone who does business.
Can I tell you what I did, though? Yes. I got a little too clever. I don't know if this is interesting, but I got a little too clever. Basically, so here's how it works. So everyone signed up on a Google form, mm-hmm. and so then we had a Google sheet of 500 people, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, how do I know who to assign everyone else to? So what I did was I just alphabetized it to randomize it,
mm-hmm.
and then I duplicated the email column and just shifted it by 1, right? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, everyone will get assigned
the person below them.
The person below them, right? It's like off by 1, and so everyone will get someone else. What I did not account for is that many, many people signed up like 6 times because they screwed the form up.
Oh.
And so then when I sent it out, my like brilliant off by 1 scheme like failed because they got themselves.
Oh, shit.
Uh-huh. Right? And then in some cases, there were whole blocks where like it wasn't off by 1 because the multiple signups like knocked mm-hmm, it back mm-hmm. up a spot. Right? It was a disaster. So then Matt and Robbie went through and like manually deduped the list and took out like joke replies and things like that. And then we got it under control and we resent it. But that's basically what happened. I thought I got away with a clever little, I don't need to spend any time on this. And, you know, just like everything else in life.
Low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging mm-hmm. fruit.
Mm-hmm. Did you use Google Docs?
Yeah, I did everything in Google Docs and MailChimp.
God, I love Google Docs.
MailChimp is an amazing product. I God damn, I love MailChimp.
Did you want to talk about the delivery of treats as long as we're on admin? I just wanted to acknowledge you guys sent out treats. It looks like treats went out.
We sent out the first half. Okay, now I am the main, we have decided that I am the main arbiter of the treats when they go out, when we say that the updates are happening, so that nobody is confused. Okay, so, wait, no, one more thing. Half of them have been sent out. The other half are being sent out this week. The problem, as we've stated before, is people like us too much. So we're now officially going to be putting our products into a warehouse, which means nothing to you people, except for the fact that basically the instant that we take everybody's names, then instantly all of the treats we will be able to go out instead of having them shipped to the office.
Well, it sounds like you did a successful Shark Tank here. Like you got it going on.
We scaled too hard.
Let me ask you this though: is it a product or is it a business?
I mean, it might be a dog. So
Well, I mean, is it a feature? Let alone a product?
Shark Tank has had some pan man over the years.
Yes.
Oh,
wait.
God.
One more thing. I will let everybody know in both in Discord and here when every single treat has gone out. And then please email me and get mad.
If I can just translate what Alex said into English.
Oh, my God. That makes sense. Okay, go ahead.
We used to send all of the things out by hand from the office. And now there's too many people who support our Patreon, which is a one. And thank you for doing that. It's a great problem to have. And now we're just using a warehouse to send it out. And it will be much faster. And you won't be waiting for us to do it by hand. Okay, that's the update. And if you do want to support us on Patreon, we would love to have you on board. You get a whole free second episode. Well, not free. You pay for it. But if you pay for it, it's free. You get a whole second free that you paid for episode every week. And you can just go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. And then after you give us your fucking money, it's all free. Everything you get is free for the low, low price of $5
That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. When you think about it like that, can you afford not to get a second free episode to do by Friday?
Mm-hmm. I don't see how you can afford to not do it twice. I mean, deals.
All right, I have a little bit of follow-up
deals.
Here. This is from a listener, Ryan, who wrote in with probably the best technical tip that we've ever gotten on Due by Friday. Ryan writes in, "Hey, Max, I heard you and Merlin talk about the brightness of the iOS screen at night on a recent show. There's a good chance I am not the first to message you here. Good instinct, but you were. But it's an iOS trick I hear so rarely and use constantly, so I'm apt to share it. Here's what you're going to do. Go into settings and set the accessibility and set the accessibility shortcut to reduce white point. Okay? Now, when you triple click the side button, it will cut your screen brightness way down. And that's on top of the normal brightness slider, so it can go incredibly dim.
And you need that on the big boy iPad. That's what we were looking for that. I think listener Todd Vaziri, one of John Syracuse's flying monkeys, I think listener Todd might have offered that too. It's a great – there's so much great stuff in accessibility. I don't want to go on a rant.
Let me ask you this though. Why doesn't the Apple slider just – if the device is capable of getting all that way dim, why doesn't the slider just go all that way dim? Does that make sense?
I think I have a theory on that.
Oh.
It's the same reason that so I've mentioned this before. A listener helped me on this incredibly dumb error I made, which is sometimes when I'm going to take a nap or do a podcast, I will go and I will click on Do Not Disturb and say Do Not Disturb for 1 hour, Do Not Disturb till, you know, whatever the setting is. one time out of 15, I accidentally click on airplane mode. So airplane mode turns on. And then I turn airplane mode off, and I'm always surprised that the phone's not working, even though I did it on my watch. And somebody said, Dingus, when you turn on airplane mode, they're not going to talk to each other anymore. And I don't know if that's true. Please don't email me. I wonder if it's a similar thing with brightness, where if they let you take it all the way down, you wouldn't be able to see the controller anymore.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
You'd be locking your keys in the car.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You I don't know. What? I'm just guessing.
You know what? That's a good theory.
There's so much good stuff in accessibility. And it's ironic because it's actually really useful for many kinds of Apple things. For example, you're saying hit the side button?
So here's how I have it.
With old button, you just triple click and any of your accessibility things you chose would pop up.
So I have it set so that when I do three taps, when I go 1, 2, 3, the screen gets way dimmer.
I love that for, what's it called? The zoom in thing.
What do I need that for?
Trying to read which kind of connector this is on an Apple thing in the tiny, tiny text on the back of the plug. Or it's just really useful to look at very, very tiny text.
Wait. It zooms in the screen?
So basically, it looks like your camera. You get what looks like the camera screen, but it is improbably zoomed in and improbably sharp. So you, if you want to go see which mint a coin came from, like you...
You're kidding me.
No, let me see if I can get it here.
That's just in the phone?
Yeah, it's part of accessibility. There's so much stuff in accessibility that's like great for everybody.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm going to...
Where do I go?
I'm going to settings, general, accessibility... let's see, reachability, try zoom, double tap three times to zoom, drag, no, not zoom. Zoom is going to be for the stuff, magnifier, that's it. Magnifier lets you use your device's camera to quickly magnify your surroundings. When enabled, triple click the side button to start magnifier.
Magnifier on. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I've switched it. 1, 2, 3.
And it worked.
No fucking way.
And look at how weirdly stable it is.
No fucking way.
It's surprisingly, it's not quite as useful as the flashlight, but at least a couple times a month, you'll find a time when that really comes. I mean, have you ever tried to read the text on the back of an iPhone charger to say, like, is this the big boy or the little boy?
Yes.
I was saying the Syracusa, it's like, the text is like CCC on EEE. It's like impossibly similar gray in the typography, and it's like, what, 4 point? It's really small.
Even in very low light of the studio, this is really impressive.
Isn't the stability nuts? How like weirdly stable it is.
I got a new litter box.
I got so much stuff, you guys. Wait a minute. I thought you had like a $1,500.
Yeah, you. I thought you have the magic one.
Didn't you have the washing machine one?
I got the new model.
Oh
shit, dog. I have so many purchases.
So the new model. So the first thing is our previous model had some issues. So I'm gonna just it's still under warranty. So I'm just sending it back to them. And then I just went ahead and bought a new one. And the new model is, it's a smart, it's an IoT thing. And so it will actually send a push notification to your phone to tell you when your cat takes a shit. And if you want, it can tell you the weight of the shit.
Oh, yeah. Please. That would be so good with this. You could put that right into Google Sheets.
So that's kind of what I was thinking.
Have a shit sheet?
If there's an iftitita integration, I could have like all the lights change, and then I could play like inspirational music.
Make all the lights blue when my cat makes a big doodle.
Yeah,
oh,
so
my God.
When it registers when the cat takes a shit, I would just have a little speaker.
It's a doodle in the bastic.
I would have a little speaker come on.
What happened to the lights? I'm trying to take a shit.
I'm in the shower.
I'm in the shower, Max. I'm in the shower. Oh, man. I would like to, if we have time, we had a real what's called pay pig time last week in the after show where I ended up buying so much shit based on what we all like.
What did you guys get? And then we have to talk about the balls for a challenge.
Oh, the balls.
We've got to talk about the balls.
Well, I just want
to talk about Max. You had a big influence on my Amazon account this week.
Oh, boy. What did you get?
Let's see. What did I get? I'm going to go in order. I got the Eneloop. Batteries, the Pro Eneloop batteries, they take a real long time to charge, but I'm going all in on rechargeables.
But it doesn't really matter that much.
Well, we use so many AAAs, it just pains me how many of those we have to drop off at Walgreens, which I imagine they just throw them in a river. I don't know.
I think you'd be surprised at it, because if you just throw them in overnight and then in the morning,
get my back on this. It does take like 7 hours, right?
Yeah. I just throw them in overnight or whatever and take them out the next day. But one thing with the Eneloops also is like, you know, I might have bought mine at Costco or something like that. Because I got a lot of them. And then if you have and they do hold their charge. So if you just get a bunch, you don't really have to worry about charging time, right?
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. I bought tons. I'm trying to go all in. And so we got one of these really cool battery dinguses for holding all your batteries. It's got a little charger for it. Not a charger, a meter to test your batteries. And so I'm switching all out. I mean, for the Ds, I feel like we may not need it as much. But that the one I got, I imagine like yours, will charge both AA and AAA, which is, I would say,
I'm proud to
by
say
almost
I,
an order of magnitude, the batteries we use the most.
I'm proud to say that I have a D battery free household. We standardize.
What about flashlights? What about cop flashlights?
Oh.
All our flashlights are triple. Are
you get little boys with lots of LEDs?
Yeah, yeah. I have the little LED ones, and those all take double A's. Or they're.
I have a little bit of a thing for flashlights. I have a lot of flashlights. I really like a nice flashlight.
What are you looking for in a flashlight?
Well, I like a flashlight. The technology, since I was a child, obviously, has come a very long way. It used to be you'd get that little whatever EverReady or Duracell red or orange flashlight everybody had with two batteries in it. And like by the end of the picnic, you couldn't see anything. Today, you can get ones where you put, I want to say, 3, 4 or more AAAs in there in a very small package with a crazy, crazy number of lumens. Which is like nits, Alex. You get a lot of lumens. Professor Lumen's having a really tough night.
Yeah.
You get lots of lumens because they do these super high-powered LEDs. My go-to take out the trash one has four settings, 25, 50, 75, 100, as well as SOS and straight blinking.
I like a small
flashlight with a lot of lumens.
So I have two flashlights that I like. One of them is in my backpack, and it's kind of like what you're describing, except it has a killer feature, which is, okay, bear with me, but it looks and operates exactly like a normal sort of pen flashlight. You know, I think it takes a AAA battery, and it has those little LED boys, and it gets very bright.
Mm-hmm.
But then it has this one killer feature, which is if you start twisting on not the back end where the battery go, but the front end.
Yeah,
like
you can
the
get like a more focused beam.
No, it doesn't focus. What it does is it starts to come out like a chapstick.
And what, a slide light.
And
you get one of the slide lights.
And what comes out is like a plastic tube that glows.
Yeah. Mm. It's like a camping lantern inside of a flashlight.
Yes, and I carry that in my backpack everywhere I go, and it's amazing how useful it is to have something that can either be a flashlight or a lantern.
We have one of those that takes D's, and it's got a huge like neodymium magnet on the end. It makes it so great for like if you have to like look at something, fix something. You could probably attach it to your head if you had to. Alex, do you have a favorite flashlight?
I'm a cranker.
Oh, come on.
What? When you need a flashlight,
like Little House on the Prairie, you're churning your own butter.
There, I mean, I have other flashlights that take the big boys, but I don't think I've ever used them. It's just like in the middle of the night, like something terrible has happened. I get the little
crank my flashlight. I can see what's happening.
I crank my flashlight.
I don't want to see what's happening instantly.
No. The standby time is incredible. Uh-huh. So I'm only cranking maybe like once a month, and it's almost like a fidget toy.
You have a Google Calendar reminder for that. Crank the flashlight.
Use the MyCurly app for that. It's called Torchmate. And Torchmate sends a push notification to the app called Do to let you know to spawn an OmniFocus project.
Well, that's going to be your task paper template.
Crank me Torch.
It's going to import the task paper template into OmniFocus. And then you're going to have a single action list which describes the cranking of all of the flashlights.
And then you slide right, and it goes to Zapier.
No, no.
So you can get a report in Instapaper. It's part of my workflow.
Oh God.
And then when you're done cranking the lights, you have to play your theme music.
I use a shortcut actually.
Neat move. I watched Matthew's video on how to do Spotify with the HomePod.
Oh my God, isn't that good? All right, I'm gonna use my mouth words. I have another show that Max and Merlin don't listen to called Supercomputer.f. Oh my God,
you're so good at this.
The other day, my friend Matthew Casanelli, which I do a show with called Supercomputer.
It's definitely Casanelli. It's definitely Casanelli. It's not Casolini.
Casolini
is a really cute name.
It is a very cute name. His name is actually Matthew Casanelli, and he does.
He's handsome.
He used to work at workflow. I don't know. Now he's just very good at creating Siri shortcuts
and explaining it.
Yes, that's
important.
Man, I don't want to get into it, but like we have this whole conversation of like some people's jobs, are they a writer? Are they a filmmaker? And there's some people, their main jobs are communicators, and everyone makes fun of like communications as a major, but there are so
like
few
CGP
people.
Gray. I mean, is he really a YouTuber? Is he
exactly.
a video maker?
Yes.
He's also a researcher. Like he's a guy who like explains the ways of God to man.
Yeah. He takes iPads into secret libraries and.
Yeah. And learns about statues and islands.
Oh, yes, we're talking about that. I got the same thing. With a monoprice. Go
ahead. So clever. Max is 3-in-1.
Oh, the Hydra?
I thought they were going to be shitty. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be like a knockoff, like, oh, look at this fun novelty dollar store thing. It's very good.
Yeah, it is. I've plugged it into my iMac. I always have like some, usually, historically, it's been Lightning into my iMac. But now, I guess now I got a way to get USB-C. Because the basics, so you get a USB-A on one end to a USB mini, correct? Is that a USB mini? And then there's two little dongles.
No, micro USB.
Why do I get that wrong all the time? USB-A to USB micro. And then you have two little boys on a cord that you can snap onto the micro to get USB-C or Lightning, right? And so you end up getting three possible connections from this one USB-A source.
My only wish is that cord, instead of terminating in a USB-A on the one end, mm-hmm. I wish that it terminated in USB-C, because now I actually have more plug-in USB-C. I kind of decided, like, okay, when the Switch came out and my laptop was USB-C and everything was USB-C, I was like, fine, I get it. I'm going to convert my whole life to the USB-C lifestyle, and all my like plugs and shit in the house are USB-C now. They're not USB-A.
I tried to do that. It falls apart too quickly.
Man, my Mac doesn't have a USB-C.
Exactly. Right now I just got a bunch of cheap Anchor USB-C to USB-A stuff.
It must be different if you're a laptop person, right? If you're a laptop person, the USB-C lifestyle is a lot easier.
Exactly.
Oh, I've been living in this reality for like when everyone freaked out when they like put the iPad on USB-C, I was like, whatever. I've already carry around a bunch of USB-C adapters and shit in my backpack. Mm-hmm. It's a dark time for Apple products. Like,
what?
Because if you draw it as a network diagram of all the possible ways and how you get from one to the other in the network is crazy. Like for basically traveling with my family, I have to go through this incredible decision tree to figure out what to bring without bringing everything. You've probably never suffered from this, Alex. I know you don't deal with dongles very much.
I think of the story of when Apple bought Next and Steve Jobs got put back in charge of the product line. And he had a lineup of all of those clone machines and gray boxes and stuff.
And he
said, which one do I tell my mom to buy? Which is the good one, right? And then they all sat there scratching their heads.
It depends. Like, are you an educator? Do you go to Sears? It was crazy. 1996, 97. It was so nuts. My wife's first Mac, my lady's first Mac was a clone.
Oh,
that's how I learned to use computers was on Mac clones in my school.
Your school had Mac clones?
Yeah, before the iMac line when it was like the gray boxes. Yeah.
Doesn't that seem like impossible in retrospect that those ever existed? That you could go into a Sears and buy a Mac that like wasn't a Mac. It's so strange.
I just feel like things are not as bad as they were then, but I do think there's an analogy of like it's fucking complicated. If someone's like an example would be like maybe like we're packing for a trip and Veronica's like, what charger do I bring? And I'm like, I don't even know how to begin to unpack all the.
I use the Anchor with three USB. I don't know if they're A's, but you know, classic form factor plus one USB-C, yep. And then it's powered by its own little dingus cord. I like that Anchor hub a lot.
Yep, that's just how I travel, is with one of those. The iPhone 6 design is one of the worst phones ever made in history. Basically every phone since the 10. We are in like a relatively sure bad time, but it's going to be so much better. Like things are going to ramp up. Everything's going to be USB-C.
In terms of functionality or interoperable, like what do you mean?
People say like it's a bad time for Apple, people can't come to us and be like, what should I buy? And then you instantly know the answer, but it's still better than everything else. And I'm not saying that that's an excuse, but
I've talked to Jason Snell about this a number of times, how in the telling of Apple's history, people look at the, was it Scully period or whatever? People look at the mid-90s as the nadir of Apple and look at that as like, oh my God, they really lost their way. Shit, everything was shit. And it's like, I think Jason agrees with this, if memory serves, but I consider that my personal glory days with the Mac. That's when I got good at using a Mac and making web pages and the world of shareware. And like, I was so excited. I was more excited about Macs in that supposed dark day period than I've ever been about Macs. And it's when I was like kind of a... part of my job was being an admin for the office and like being the person who backed up everybody's stuff and fixed their bugs and ran conflict catcher. And, you know, the biggest problem we had then was like SCSI 25 or SCSI 50. There was not that many things. But I loved that time. I've never been more excited about Macs than I was probably in 1995.
I mean, what? So are you
every
not
day somebody's
excited?
Born who hasn't used a Mac? You know, monoprice.
I don't
still
know.
Point inducer. I'm struggling with it because A, no matter how I lay, the still point inducer goes the wrong place, and B, every time I do it, I think it's I'm not sure it should be as painful as it is. I think I'm doing the still point inducer wrong. It didn't help to go to YouTube. The videos are very fruity. Is the still point inducer something that really actually works, Max?
Well,
or was this...
did you listen to the CD that's in the box?
No, I threw it out. I don't have a way to play CDs.
You just gave him a CD?
Yes. I was genuinely like, I don't know. No, I was like, I don't know what to do with this.
The YouTube video is recorded with the in-camera mic. It's like... And she's certified it with like letters I've never seen at the end of a name. She has some kind of like, she's like a master of still point induction. And then if you do it in bed, it kind of goes, whoop, it flips away. How do you do it? You lay on the ground?
Maybe she's an RPL. A royal pan lady.
I'm going to work that thing, though. I'm going to work it.
I don't know, man. I find it pretty intuitive. You got to put it like right in your neck, like right at the top of your spine, and just kind of lie down flat on the floor. And I find that it really does something to my back personally.
I wish it was on a bigger base is what I'm thinking. Maybe I could nail it to a board or something, but it slips around. But I'm gonna get it.
Does it feel good to you to lie on the floor?
Yes, I love lying on the floor because my daughter takes my seat. I don't get to have anything in the house. I'm not gonna complain. I'm always end up on the floor
lying flat on the floor feels amazing on my back, and
yes.
for a few minutes. And this is lying on the floor plus.
Oh yeah, okay. This is like lying on the floor deluxe.
All right,
yes.
Hold on. So I have my point inducer.
It's you know what? It's lying on the floor S.
Max. Lying on the floor, S Max. Okay, she's got her. Is she inducing a still point?
Oh, I see what's happening. Alex just disappeared behind the desk.
So I'm. Can you hear me, Merlin? Merlin. So, Merlin, I'm underneath the desk.
You sound like
and,
it.
And, well, no, because I was using it the other day, and it like makes me a little bit high when I have it right underneath my head.
It's like that party trick where you help make a girl pass out by pushing on her neck.
Yeah. Oh,
is it that kind of thing?
No, wait.
You guys never partied with Jeffrey Epstein.
Are you guys doing like the choking game? What is this?
No,
yeah, the choking game. Light as a feather, heavy as a board. What?
Oh my God! I'm just trying to describe the sensation. It's like it's poking nerves. It does nothing for my spine, but it goes all the way up to my temples in like an interesting. It's almost like I'm dizzy right now in a pleasant way.
I'm so into this.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I.
Are you choking yourself?
Yeah, and then I come. All right, I'm done with this bit.
Well, you know, it's funny coming on the heels of the banging balls. Like, I'm ready to lean into this, as Sheryl Sandberg says. I'm ready to lean into the pain inducing balls. And this does. It looks like inverted testicles that you're going to put on your neck. So I think by the principle of ball extension, this will be good for me.
See,
I also got a stress ball.
Same. I bought like 6 stress balls for people in the office.
My daughter has now adopted the stress ball.
It's so good.
Isn't that thing great?
It's so good.
It's really satisfying. Yeah.
I thought, well, one, I thought the still point inducer, we were having a debate whether it was boobs or butts. I'm not a testicle expert, but I would have expected that testicles aren't that appealing. It's a very appealing in shape.
You have to disclose Alex is not a testicle expert.
Not an expert. But
you're so fortunate.
I know.
I wish I wasn't.
I know.
It's all too familiar.
But now I have a number of stress balls, and I got a... I was so sad when fidget spinners stopped being cool, but I went on Amazon, and they suggested a fidget spinner that looks more like a... like a weapon than a fidget spinner, but
more like a shuriken?
It's so good. Yeah, a little
cool.
bit. I do not like how it looks, but people so far have not commented on it. Look at this little spinny guy.
That's tiny.
It is. It's less, you know, I can't do any cool tricks with it or anything, but if I was the kind of person who really needed to play with something all day in order to not lose my mind, I really, really like it.
That's most of mine. Well, give me some of yours, Alex. What did you end up? You got some of the same stuff?
Oh, I think I got the balls, I got the cords, I got, I bought some extra stress balls that have, motivational sayings on it,
nice.
Like be quiet, be kind, and I'm like, I'm not listening to this. I also got the SanDisk Extreme portable SSD.
Oh, hell yes.
I've already
isn't
lost
it. Isn't it tiny? So small you lost it.
Oh, I didn't get that one. I should do that.
It's in the office somewhere, but I'm not like a losing things person.
It probably got sucked up into the vacuum.
I'm pretty sure it's like in the risers in the theater or something. So I'm like, okay, I guess it's just...
I got the Lego Harry Potter Great Hall set, which it is huge. I haven't even opened it yet. It's huge. I think I might like watch a movie and build it this weekend. And I got, is that it? I think that's it.
You were mainly the provider of
Yeah,
advice.
That's true. Mm.
I'm just looking to see if I got any other things that you guys recommended, but I think that's me. And, of course, I got the balls. Oh, I did get the Listerine pack, the mint.
Oh,
the Listerine mints.
Did you try those?
Oh, the car wash for your mouth.
Yeah, car wash. Yeah, they're very intense.
They are indeed.
I do think they might give you diarrhea.
No, what?
I think they do, too. You got to watch out for mints.
No, wait.
You can feel
it's
it.
Not
it,
a
kinda,
mint.
It feels like somebody's whistling through your anus. if you get something too minty. I used to take peppermint for medicinal reasons. And boy, I got a real whistle through the back door.
I think they give you diarrhea if you have too many
of
them.
Yeah, I think they do too. Also, the texture's a little bit like human skin.
Yeah.
I assume.
I don't like how it
makes
maybe
that's
like
why
a,
I like
I don't
it.
Like it, how it makes like a papery film on your tongue.
How
it's
many
upsetting.
Did you take that?
Oh, like 4 or 5 boxes.
No. How many did you put into your mouth that gave you diarrhea?
Yeah, like 4 or 5 boxes.
God damn it. I have no idea what's happening in the news, and it's kind of making me worried that Max hasn't
neither.
Told a story yet.
It's one of those weeks where things are pretty bad.
Oh, good.
Do you believe the Manafort? I think that's a problematic troubled story.
I don't know. I assume that. So let's say I was Paul Manafort. At this point.
He'd be giving up everything if he was really doing this.
So I disagree.
Of course he'd talk about Ecuador.
You're forgetting something, though, which is Manafort thinks that he's going to be pardoned.
Do you really think that?
I think Trump will probably just pardon everyone.
Okay.
But he's already forfeited $40 million in stuff. He's already basically copped to all these charges. He's still on the hook in New
but
York and Virginia.
New York and Virginia. The state prosecutor. He might be pretty. Yeah, you're right. He might be pretty fucked.
He's pretty fucked on those.
I mean,
it's funny. It's been funny to watch political Twitter guess about this because it's really difficult to know which of several completely. Let's go straight to the one that cool Twitter is. Oh, cool Twitter is like, hey, you know, he's actually dumb, and he's just dumb. Okay, fine. It's possible.
I
sure,
mean, he doesn't.
Like,
he at this point, you, do you think he has like the best legal?
I think dumb and desperate are pretty different. You can be both. But if he is that desperate, he shouldn't be that dumb.
Okay, pause. Tweet length description or summary of what happened with Paul Manafort this week.
The known story that continued. Well, so there's been this kind of like background noise grace note thing about WikiLeaks and Roger Stone for some time now.
Mm-hmm,
that there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of smoke and beyond that links to Roger Stone being in a fair amount of trouble. You get into the Randy Credico stuff. You get into the Corsi stuff. There's all kinds of stuff around Roger Stone and WikiLeaks that has not been settled on. So putting that aside for a minute, that's something where that's everybody's wondering, like, what is that going to end up being and how far does it go? Does it stop at Don Jr.? Does it stop at Roger Stone? The big one this week, though, is I don't know how this came about, but the Manafort, the Mueller investigation people put out a document that basically says, look, Manafort agreed to be a cooperating witness on all kinds of conditions. And one of those really important conditions is that you be truthful about all the things in the past and you not lie in the future in this investigation. This has all been like over the summer. Basically, Manafort has continued to do crimes. Like Ashley Feinberg says, hello, my name is Paul Manafort and I fucking love crimes. He can't stop. This is a man who buys ostrich jackets. He has no fucking sense. He's so mega fucked right now. He's lost his house. That's gone. $40 million in property, gone. He, as part of the plea deal with the investigation, he basically copped to fucking everything. He could be charged with all of that if he breaks the deal. He will be in jail for the rest of his life. He's been lying. You remember when he first got out and was working with the people in Ukraine to do the like puff pieces on him?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Like he just fucking can't stop. So the question then becomes like, well, is Max right? Is he basically banking on definitely getting a pardon? Is he banking on where does he go from here? So that came out. And now there's all these other little puffs of stuff coming out. The crazy one that came out from, was it The Independent? That came out yesterday that nobody else has been able to confirm, and a lot of people are very skeptical about, is reporting that he went to, was it visit with Assange?
What?
Max? On three different occasions.
Oh, I did not see this. Yeah, I have not seen this.
Well, there's a lot of skepticism. They've already, if you go look at the diffs on the story, they've already walked back some of the story. But yeah, but basically, of course, everybody. I woke up yesterday morning and Twitter was fucking melting down on Woe If True.
To have visited with him. We already know that they were like, he was DMing with the Trump family, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's one of two things. I think the first is that the Manafort and Trump sort of school of like when shit really hits the fan and things are really looking bad for you, you start attacking and you just do stuff and you don't really stop and think. You just create action and chaos. And somehow in the ensuing, you know, dust cloud, like a Looney Tunes fight, you hope that you're the one that survives.
Or in this case, and admittedly, we are about to say something about a false flag. I fully admit that. But this would not be the first time that folks involved in being investigated for this have produced some kind of a fake document as a kind of a honeypot to discredit a reporter. Because I don't think this reporter is a super well-known. It's not from our hit list.
Oh, well, I'm not even thinking of on those lines. I'm just thinking that it's like Manafort, his back is against the wall. And like Trump, he has that instinct of like, go on the attack. Just like do stuff, right? Just say and do anything just to create.
Oh, yeah, right. Like just start waving your arms around.
Just chaos. Yeah. And then you hope that if you basically like what happens in that environment of chaos is sometimes the person who has the least dignity to begin with, who can't go down any further, they come up out ahead because everyone else is lowered into the mud. And
you just want to turn away. You can't look.
Trump's already a filthy pig boy. So it doesn't matter if he gets into a fight arguing about how big his penis is, right? It doesn't matter. He can't go down any lower. But anyone else who argues about the size of their penis can, right?
So you get Chuck Schumer in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Effectiveness.
Well, it's a strategy of appeasement, Merlin.
Well, I think they will definitely stop saying mean things about liberals if he gets $1.6 billion for the wall. That's a tough, tough, bold, brave stance.
I think what people love about Democrats is when we don't...
we capitulate to a bully.
Is when we don't believe in anything. When we just do incredibly unpopular things that everybody hates. I think that's probably why people get out of bed and vote for Democrats.
It's called centrism.
Yep. And then the final thing with Manafort is you're right that the pardon wouldn't really help him because he has all these state issues. But maybe Manafort, maybe he's looked at the situation. He's like, at this point, one of the things that might happen is like a total breakdown of law and order. I do.
I think about it all the time.
Maybe Manafort's like, well, there's still this outside scenario of like, you know, like the basically.
Well,
like,
and maybe Trump. I mean, I could see him thinking, well, nobody's beaten Trump yet. Maybe he'll intervene and just get everybody fired in every state.
Right.
Maybe there will be some kind of executive order that nobody knows how to defend.
I mean, and there is a strain. Some of these guys, you know, like Bannon, like these guys are fucking Bolsheviks. Like they really do think like the state is going to come down.
No, they just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah. And maybe yeah. Manafort's like, yeah, you know, my strategy probably doesn't make sense under the current sort of SOP, but like maybe he thinks that the world, right. like the thing, like things will change, you know, bigly in the next couple of years.
Well, here's hoping.
Oh God.
So that's all our stuff. Did I get anything else? I don't think so.
No, but I think the Schumer approach is going to be very effective in the face of that kind of chaos. Yes. Because the thing yeah. is, if we just let Trump have Poland.
Oh yeah, you know, let him annex the Sudetenland. Right, everything will stop right there.
Right,
got some iced tea, got some new cat litter. I got an Isle of Dogs book that's so good, you guys. That movie gets better every time I watch it.
It was problematic.
Yeah,
it was problematic, and I was super mad. And now it's one of my family's four quadrant. Everybody loves it. Favorite movies. It's so sweet.
So I should watch it.
It's so sweet. Oh, you should so watch it.
Okay,
it's really, really good. Oh. The voices, the animation, it's so good. It's problematic because of the violence for me. It's also problematic because there is some Orientalism in it.
Violence?
Can I throw out a TV topic yes. before we get to the balls?
Yes.
Yes,
you are. I started watching America's Got Talent.
Oh, okay. God.
So
That's the one with Simon Pegg? No, Simon, what's his name? Simon Cowell.
Simon Cowell. And yeah, it's like the vaudeville. He's not on the season that I'm watching.
Kelly Clarkson.
But so basically what happened was a magician won America's Got Talent. Mm-hmm. And whenever I would show people magic tricks, they'd go, oh, that's like the magician on America's Got Talent. So I put it on my Plex and I started watching it. And I got a couple episodes and started watching it on a flight. And like, have you guys ever seen an episode of that show?
Yeah.
No.
It is the dumbest shit in the world.
Why are you doing this?
Is this
to
the
yourself?
One where they turn their chair around and
no.
then decide whether to vote?
I think that's the Maroon 5 voice. That's the voice. Yeah.
It's like the Gong okay. Show or something like that. Like they can stop yeah. the performance. But it's kind of vaudeville, you know. It's like there's like variety, there's like singers and variety acts and stuff.
My two large nephews in the overalls playing a giant harmonica.
But I really think, yes. I really think when America's Got Talent comes back, we should do a yeah. challenge where we watch like the first episode or something and talk about it. I really just could see. I mean, I was really compelled by. I had the goal of watching the episode that the magician was on, just so I knew what the fuck people were talking about. And it was fine. He's a good magician, but boy, there's a lot to. I really think there's a lot to talk about. I really think that
it's a form of not. I don't want to say hate watching, but you watch it because it's so stupid.
I didn't even hate it. I was actually really.
That's where I am with Shark Tank at this point. Shark Tank has gotten really stupid, yeah. and I do kind of hate watch it now.
I'm not hate watching.
Did you see the guy with the broom? Did you guys see the guy with the broom?
Oh, no, the broom was yeah. amazing.
That was it. Like, there's no way. Like, he hit every bell for, like, don't fucking do this if you're going to go on Shark Tank. He's yep. like, he had way too much stock. He was way over leveraged. He'd given away parts of the company. And he's like, I'm still for, like, and I was like, wait a minute. So you made a broom because you hate having to bend over, but you still have to bend over with the broom.
Yeah,
it's like, it's
exactly.
so stupid. It doesn't make, this is his passion project.
The strap guy yes. killed me.
The strap guy was, oh, that was.
What was the strap? God. What was his thing?
A-Rod comes over. It's the straps for the locking straps. And he had, what is it? He got millions of dollars of these straps made.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave the design and production over to this Chinese company that, like, fucking blew it. Like, the basic core concept of this product is the sturdiness and you can't cut it. But then the locking mechanism for pulling the strap just literally didn't work, and they had to return all of them. And he doesn't know the numbers, you know? It's Home Depot knows the numbers. I don't know those numbers. Numbers, what? What?
Oh, my God.
So bad.
It was
and they moved
upsetting.
Mark's chair. They let A-Rod have his chair.
Oh,
weird.
I know. I didn't like that. I did not like that at all.
I don't tune into these shows for change.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I really think that America's Got Talent. I'm not interested in making fun of the variety acts because I actually think that's the Galaxy Brain meme. That's like the first brain level of that show. It's like you make fun of the bad yeah. acts or whatever.
Sure, sure, sure.
That's part of it, is that you're supposed to feel a certain way about them and you're supposed to make fun of it. I'm really interested in America's Got Talent. I really am interested in the show itself, the way that it's packaged, the way that it's shot as a piece of like filmmaking, like it is really
It's like going to Disney World for the engineering and design.
There is
like
some,
you're not there for the rides, you're there for like some, how it was put together.
There is some crazy shit of like without getting too into it, like the conceit, part of the conceit of the way that it's produced is that it's in a huge theater, right? Like a like a big theater with a huge audience. And they are seeing the show America's Got Talent on stage. But you at home are behind the scenes hearing the chatter of the producers.
Oh, is this like when they talk
the
like on the side of the stage, the two guys talk to each other about how this is really good?
Yes. Yes. You're hearing the judge. So let me put it this way. The judges have two microphones. They have one microphone that they lean forward to talk to that amplifies their voice in the theater. And of course, you do hear that on the TV program.
Right.
But
right,
then they also have lavs. And while the performance is going on, the judges whisper to each other. And at home, you hear the lavs. It is.
Oh, my God.
Like, well, it is. I'm telling you, it could. It's really interesting. It's like there's something about America in that show.
No, I agree. But someone's already done this, and it's called 50 Million Merits, and it was a Black Mirror episode. Like, no, I agree. I think we should watch it.
That's a pretty caveman critique of the show, right? Of like,
I don't.
But what that's getting at is that when all the acts come packaged,
because all the sacrifice that the acts are doing, so their friend can have a nicer life.
So this is another way. This is the other one of the other ways that you're at home. You're watching a show about the show. Is that the audience? It's understood that that things are unfolding live in real time for the audience in the theater. But you at home are interrupted all the time by inspirational video packages introducing the characters as they like walk through their small industrial town in slow motion and talking about their life. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then it cuts back into the live show as though it's all live TV.
But you're sort of you're elevated over those the snorks in the audience. Like you're seeing more of what's going on, the real story.
Correct.
Yeah.
And those stories are always this like, oh, it's like a come from behind, you know, get a story, underdog story, whatever. And they're usually sort of in some way poor, disadvantaged people, or maybe a minority or an immigrant or something like that. And you're supposed to be rooting for them. But
I hate that stuff. I hate it.
But that's the Black Mirror thing of like, you do feel bad for this person, but also like, why do they have to like beg for their dignity to Simon Cowell on a stage and earn it by singing? You know, like that's the part, and
with Shark Tank, they mix it up. Like if you go back and watch the English lady singing the Les Mis song, the I Dreamed a Dream song, like I think is that Britain's Got Talent, probably.
Or
British Idol,
similar format. Yeah,
but you ever go back and watch that again? The I Dreamed a Dream lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she comes out and everybody's like making fun of her because she's like a frumpy, kind of weird looking middle aged woman, and then she does a pretty B+ version of that song, and she got a whole career. But everybody just starts weeping because you don't know which way it's going to go. Is this person going to be the ding-a-ling? Or is this going to be the person who's going to be like transcendent? Are they just going to come out and break dance and fall down? Or is this going to be like a life-changing performance?
Well, and that I guess we are like getting too into it, but that's the thing is if you're in that audience, you're not actually snickering about, like that footage was definitely taken when one of the actual ding-a-lings was on stage, and so they cut to, you know, B-roll of the audience being like, oh, fat lady on stage. But no monster. I just think it's gross. It's like every reality TV show, but packaged.
The thing that you're both right about, though, is whether you look at it as the Black Mirror thing or it's the lack of dignity, and it's the fact that you get to. This is that's something I explored in my thesis. The idea that you get to be the ironic viewer of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You get to be the one who like evaluates all of this, and you get this extreme level of ironic distance that lets you process it on the level that you want. And so you could look at it like you can sneer at the people who think they're seeing the real world. You can sneer at the people, look down on the people who are laughing at Susan Boyle. You can choose to process it on any level you want because you get this ironic distance in this cool medium that lets you be the superior person.
Yep.
Oh, shit fire. Susan Boyle, I Dreamed a Dream, 2009.
I think it's more than B+. Challenge.
Who's is this Merlin's challenge?
Yes.
Merlin, what did we buy this week?
Susan Boyle. I don't know how this happened. So last week we had a little pay pig hour in the after show. You can find the after show by signing up at giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. And I had thought last week was going to be talking about the favorite things episode. So I had a list of things, dumb stuff that I really like. And I guess, no, it was on the main episode. At the end, we ended up talking about this thing my wife got that I thought was silly, which is a shiatsu massager. And then Max described it to great effect. And the the challenge became, get one of these fucking ball bangers and give it a run. Like, really get in there.
Just get
Make
bald,
that thing dig
just
in.
Get the, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Max wanted pain. Max wanted a pain massage. A lot of people say mm-hmm, you may want mm-hmm. like an athletic massage. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can get some balls banging on you. You put your arms in the stirrups, and you can control how much pain you induce to yourself with the banging shiatsu balls.
Yes.
So get banged by some balls. Challenge! Challenge!
Oh, God.
So, did you guys get shiatsu balled?
Oh, yes. Boy, did we get the balls.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Now, I described this. Now, knowing that Max was describing the desire for a truly excruciating massage, I'm not saying this is going to be the hardest. I put this thing on when my wife got it, and I was blown away with how much pain, pleasant pain, it caused me. It felt like my nerves could snap at any second, no matter where I put this on my body. It felt like it was a ruthless robot monster that was going to destroy me. It chews you. It just chews you up.
My verdict on this thing is that it is pretty good. It is pretty good. But if I, so like you said, you pull it tight to like put the amount of pressure you want on.
Right.
And yeah. I, first of all, if you pull it too hard, the balls stop moving.
You managed to stop the balls.
Same.
Every time. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to do is
I wonder
find,
if you guys got a not as powerful one or if I'm just a pussy.
I'm trying to find.
I got it. It was a killing machine.
Merlin, I can't say, but I have a theory. But now I find the sweet spot where I pull it real tight just before the balls give out. And I'm holding it.
You have ball failure.
And I'm holding it right in that sweet point. Where if I put one more pound of pressure on it, the balls will give out under the pressure.
You found the sweet spot.
You got to hold it right in that sweet spot. But if I could, if those balls held up under pressure, if I could, I'd be going twice as hard.
You need
as
more
they
like
go.
An industrial one. Well, I think it's like the teeth, like gear teeth on a machine. Like if it gets the wrong part on your neck, it isn't a pleasant pain. This fucking feels like nerve damage is imminent with this thing because it doesn't know. Now, if you went and got a wise lady who with really strong hands who could harm you physically, but she knows when to stop and then stamp on your stamp collection. Mm-hmm. With this thing, it's a killing machine. It doesn't know if it's on a nerve or a bone.
I like that. It's like it's very Westworld, right? It's like the it's like disengage the safety protocols in the holodeck and let me have my way with these robot with these robot balls.
Harder! You fucking bitch, hurt me!
It doesn't know that it's killing you. It's just
no. It doesn't know. It doesn't care. It's just doing its machine stuff. As long as voltage is applied, it will continue to kill. Still plugged in. Killing. Then what about Johnny Hollywood? You think Johnny Hollywood gets banged by the balls?
I think he either someone needs to insult his baking, someone needs to tell him that he's a mm-hmm. nasty little pie boy.
He's a pie pig. That's a very bad bake, Johnny. That's a bad bake.
He's a nasty pie pig. He goes, right before they smash his balls, they tell him that his
how wet his crust is.
They tell him that his jammy dodger is a bit higgledy piggledy.